Welcome to day 171. We are up to Perek Yud Mishnah Hey, and we're continuing to discuss a Prizbol. Now, as a reminder, a Prizbol is a document that allows loans that would normally be canceled during Shemitah to not be canceled. It allows the lender to continue to collect. Now, the halacha, which is probably somewhat intuitive, is that a Prizbol only works on loans that took place before the Prizbol was written. And of course, that's true, because the Prizbol transfers that debt to a Beis Din. So the debt needs to exist already. So it only works on loans that were written before, that were given before the Prizbol was written. Now, usually that's very easy to tell because we know when the loan took place and we know when the Prizbol was written because there's a date on the Prizbol. But let's say the date isn't accurate. Let's say the Prizbol was predated or postdated. So the guiding principle, the general rule that we're going to learn in our Mishnah by Prizbol and really by other contracts as well, is that if the changed date, if the wrong date is to the advantage of the one who wrote the contract, then it is no good. It is puzzle, it is nullified. But if it's to the detriment of the person who wrote it, then it might be good. So says Mishnah, hey, Prizbol hamuktam kosher. A predated Prizbol is kosher. Now, we're going to give an example. We're going to use the Gregorian calendar, even though, because that's just what we're more familiar with, even though a Prizbol is usually, you'd have the Hebrew date on it. But let's say you're standing as we are right now in June, and we predate the Prizbol to January. Well, that is certainly to the detriment of the lender, right? The lender is always going to be the one who writes the Prizbol, because the Prizbol only works on loans that took place before the date on the Prizbol. So if you're standing in June and he wrote it for back in January, well, then it's only going to include loans that took place before January. And anything that took place after January until June, when he was actually writing it, that would not be included in the Prizbol, and therefore those loans would be canceled. He would not be able to collect those loans. So it's absolutely to the detriment of the lender. He'll only be able to collect loans that took place before that earlier date of January. But hamu'uchar pasul. But if it was post-dated, it would be nullified, because then you're just trying to chop everything you can. You're basically trying to write a Prizbol that will include loans that will take place in the future. So you're standing in June and you're post-dated to August. That's not okay. That's trying to include loans that you haven't even given yet, that you're going to give in July. And therefore, that cannot be included in the Prizbol, because again, a Prizbol can only work on loans that took place beforehand. So it's to the advantage of the writer, and therefore it would not be okay. A similar case, not by Prizbol, but by Shtarei Chov, which is a contract you have almost like a promissory note that includes a lien on the borrower's land. So, Shtarei Chov Hamukdamim Psulin. If you have a Shtar Chov that is predated, it is pasul. Why? Imagine again, you're standing in June, and you write that the loan is only taking place right now in June, but we're going to write the contract as if it took place earlier in January. Well, in January, it could be that the borrower had acres and acres of land. So you're trying to say that those acres of land are part of the lien of this document. But let's say between January and when you actually did the loan in June, let's say the borrower sold that field. Now the person who's writing this document is trying to chop that field, trying to say that, no, that field is mine. I had the rights to it. But that's not true. You only did the loan in June, and you're trying to pretend that you wrote it back in January to chop more land that the borrower no longer owns. So therefore, it's to the advantage of the writer, of the lender, and therefore it would not be okay. But if it's post-dated, then it would be totally fine, because you're standing here in June right now, and you're saying that even though the loan is taking place right now in June, I'm only going to write the document for whatever, it's for September, and then it's very possible that the person had land, the borrower had land that you could put a lien on in June, but now he doesn't. Now he sold it between June and September, and the document, the contract, only said September. So the lender just lost out on land that could have been part of that loan, or it could have been part of the lien. And therefore, it is okay, because it's to the detriment of the lender. Continues the Mishnah, Echad Lova Mechamisha, one who borrows from five people, a very important terminology. A Malve is a lender, and a Lova is a borrower. Malve, lender, Lova, borrower. So, Echad Lova Mechamisha, someone who borrows from five different people, Kosev Prizbol Ko Echad Echad. Needs to write a separate document, a second Prizbol, for each and every lender. That's probably somewhat intuitive. But, Chamisha Lova Me'echad, but if five people borrow money from one person, so there's only one lender in the picture, then the lender who lent to five different people can write one contract, one Prizbol for all of them, because he's just transferring all of the debt that he has, he's transferring that to Beis Din, so you only need one Prizbol. So it really goes by the Malve, not the Love. So if there's one Malve, you can just write one contract for all of it. Continues the Mishnah, a very important principle. Now it's Mishnah Vav. Ein kosvin Prizbol ela ala karka. You can only write a Prizbol if the borrower has land. There are different explanations, but the most simple is that if the borrower has land, then it's almost as if Beis Din has a lien on that land, right? Beis Din, when they get the contract, when they get the Prizbol, when the debt is transferred, transferred, it's almost as if they have a lien on the land of the borrower, and it's almost as if it's already collected, and that's how the prosbol works. They are allowed to collect because it's almost as if it's already collected. So it's like a little collateral, it's like a lien on that land. So it's more symbolic than anything, not symbolic, but it's really the mechanism through which it works. So the borrower needs to have even a tiny bit of land. It doesn't matter how much. It doesn't mean to be commensurate with the size of the loan, but the borrower needs to have a little bit of land. Now, the rest of the Mishnah is going to discuss, let's say he doesn't have land. Are there ways around it? The Mishnah is going to say, absolutely. There are leniencies. Im ein lo, if he doesn't have, mezachu b'sof sadeh u'kol shu. So then the lender should actually give him a little bit of land, which sounds crazy, right? The lender is already owed a lot of money by this guy, and now we're saying, give him more land. Yeah, that's true. We're saying, give him more, but the purpose is that he can eventually collect the loan from that guy. So we encourage the lender to give him even a tiny bit of land so that he could then collect all of the loans. Imagine the borrower has land, but it's not his own land. It's land that is a collateral from a loan that he lent to someone else, right? And a different borrower gave him that loan as a collateral. So that land isn't really his, but he's holding on to it right now in case the person defaults on the loan. And therefore, that's enough, says the Mishnah. Kosvin al prosbol. That's enough to consider owning the land, so to say, even though it's only collateral. But it's enough to own the land such that you'd be able to write a prosbol. Rabbi Chutzpis Omer. And because it says, Kosvin la'ish al nichnasei ishto, you're even allowed to write a prosbol on land that isn't yours but belongs to your wife, right? We're going to call that nichsei malug. We're not going to discuss exactly what that is right now. But if your wife owns that land, she's still, it's not yours, but it's enough to be yours such that you're allowed to write a prosbol. Why? Because there are certain things that you're allowed to do once you're married. You're allowed to, right, you have a right to work the land, etc. It's not yours. It's entirely your wife's, but you're allowed to work the land, and therefore that's enough to be considered your land to write a prosbol. And finally, by the Yisomen, let's say you give a loan to orphans, they don't have land. Then al nichnasei apotropin, you're allowed to do it on the property of an apotropos. An apotropos is the one who takes care of the orphans and makes decisions for them until they become older. And so in that case, they're not related. But at the same time, they might be, but it's not their land. It's his land. It's the apotropos' land. And still, that's enough to be considered the orphan's land such that you're allowed to write a prosbol on loans to orphans. That is Mishnah Vav. We'll continue Mishnah Zayin tomorrow.